Welcome to Outbeat Collage. I'm Michaela Kennan. In the studio with me, my co-host, Gary Carnevale, back from his travels around the world. On the engineering boards, Mary Moore Campagna, keeping us live and on track, and we've got a jam-packed show. There are tickets to give away. We've got lots of information you'll want to know about, and it's all right here, right now. Stay tuned.
Thanks, Michaela. I'm Gary Carnevale. Glad to be back. Our special guests this evening, Charlie Pendergast and Kevin Connor from Risk Press Gallery and Foundation here in Sonoma County. Also, Dr. Diana Grayer, Outbeat's Living Proof host and new author about personal transformation and positive self-esteem, new author of 3 new children's books. Plus, we'll be giving away 2 tickets for the SF Gay Men's Chorus Holiday Concert, which is a benefit for face-to-face. All that is coming up, and we'll talk about a few other happenings around town. Right now, let's get to Greg Moralia and Outbeat News.
Say it. Tell it like it is.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, November 20th, 2011. The Central Asian nation of Kyrgyzstan is about to make a breakthrough in transgender rights that puts it ahead of many Western countries, with a new law allowing transgender people to change their name and gender marker on official documents without proof of medical intervention. The move has been approved by 13 of the nation's government ministries and awaits the Prime Minister's signature to go into effect. It is the result of much effort by the Kyrgyzstan LGBT rights group Labrys. Kyrgyzstan, a former Soviet republic, has historically required a formal document to be issued by a medical institution for the name and gender marker changes, but there were problems because there is no such process for medical professions to follow, and the government has not created such a document. Labrys founder Anna Kiry said, "Our job was to develop legislation that would allow transgender people to be able to change their name and gender marker without any kind of medical intervention if they didn't wish to do so. When we started, it was almost impossible to think that we would be able to cooperate with people at such a high level of government. It took a lot of work, but seeing that cooperation is possible makes me very inspired." And here in California, the organization behind the measure that repealed marriage equality in California does have the legal right to defend the law in court, according to a ruling issued by the California Supreme Court this last Thursday. The court's ruling indicates that sponsors of all ballot initiatives are fit to represent their populations in court when the governor and state attorney general refuse to do so. The case challenging Proposition 8 has also brought up several peripheral issues, such as video access to courtrooms and former Judge Vaughn Walker's ability to objectively hear the case even though he is gay. This ruling was based on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit request of the California Supreme Court to decide whether or not the backers of Proposition 8 had legal standing to step in for Governor Jerry Brown and State Attorney General Kamala Harris when both declined to defend the measure. This case will now return to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals during a hearing scheduled for this coming December 8th. And here in the North Bay, the holidays will soon be in full swing, and the North Bay's LGBT community can look forward to many festive events. Local LGBT organizations have managed to schedule concerts, gatherings, parties, and more that will combine fun and the spirit of giving. These challenging economic times have been difficult for the organizations that serve those in our community, and they are in need. Donations are fewer, and funding has been slashed for many of these nonprofits. So the end of the calendar year is a perfect time for folks to help make up for these losses. And here are a few ways you can enjoy holiday cheer and help out. Dining Out for Life happens on World AIDS Day on Thursday, December 1st, at 68 different Sonoma County restaurants. The event is the biggest fundraiser for Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, which provides free food, supplements, and services to those in need. The concept is pretty simple. Eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, or all 3 at participating restaurants, and they donate up to 50% of the bill for Food for Thought. A complete list of restaurants and more information is available at diningoutforlife.com. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus will perform a Home for the Holidays concert on Saturday, December 3rd at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa. This is a benefit for Face to Face, Sonoma County AIDS Network, whose mission is to improve the lives of people affected by HIV and reduce the number of new infections. 33 years ago next month, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus performed its first concert as the world's first openly gay choral group, and they've been entertaining audiences ever since. Tickets can be purchased at www.f2f.org. Catherine Holland will host It's a Wonderful Gay Life, a cabaret to benefit the Spectrum LGBT Center, at her Mill Valley home on Monday, December 5th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Holiday cheer will be provided by Wayne Fettig on piano, jazz vocalist and Beach Blanket Babylon cast member Philip Percy Williams, and anyone who cares to step up to the open mic. For more information, you can RSVP to Catherine at att.net. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, November 22nd at 1:30 p.m., the Santa Rosa Senior Group will meet at the Glacier Center in Santa Rosa. And at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. On Thursday, November 24th, from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m., Thanksgiving Diva happens at Chrome Lotus, 501 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. And if you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage, right here on KRCB-FM, Santa Rosa.
Thanks, Greg. We are very excited to welcome into our studios Charlie Pendergast and Kevin Connor. They are the owners of Risk Press Gallery and founders of Risk Press Foundation, both located in Sebastopol. They have developed a unique out-of-the-box approach to proactively blending the whole wide spectrum of art and creativity with community service and support here in Sonoma County. Charlie is also the author and publisher of A Commonplace of Poetry, a compilation of personal writings. Charlie and Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
Charlie, I have your book before me, A Commonplace of Poetry. It is as though you have essentially opened all the doors and windows to your inner home and invited the reader to wander at ease. It's a very deeply personal book and well worth the read and well worth the insight for one who may not know you, but who may get to know you just by reading your words.
Well, thank you.
Tell us how it kind of came about.
Well, The Commonplace comes about, it's actually a very old term. When people used to share books, they would write out their favorite passages in a special book of their own and keep it, and it would be a kind of an ongoing personal log of special poetry or phrases or even paragraphs. And I liked the idea that and E.M. Forster wrote this, that it's a kind of a conscious, it's an act of conscious continuity. So the arrangement of the book is, as you can see, poems from, you know, the 70s all the way through to the present. And I liked the ease of arranging them just haphazardly, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has writing always been kind of a refuge for you?
Yes. It's the only thing that I do that I think I can do with ease and facility. I like the other arts and I dabble in other things, but writing is natural. Writing is something I can't not do. I have to do it. Mm-hmm. And this book is also the model for the Risk Press Foundation's two books of poetry every year that we're going to be publishing. So mm-hmm. Not having an author for the first book, I just use my own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all the books will be the same size and have the same format. And so.
In your preface, you write something about, you say, I must take up my voice. I'd like to know, as I was reading through it, I'm thinking, is this more of a, I want you to know who I am, me, Charlie, or is it something that's a little bit more of a calling? I must take up my voice.
Well, my feeling about art and artists is that we are the the saviors of humanity. Actually, I think
we get to say
anything. Anything can be filtered through art and artists, and so it's better than politics, and it's better than government, and so it's more than just a voice. It's the voices, even though it is deeply personal, I think that most art is. Mm-hmm. Deeply personal, even mm-hmm. if it's music or painting or whatever. And Risk Press Foundation and the gallery itself is kind of designed to allow people, particularly people who haven't had a big experience of their own in a commercial setting, to have that chance to be on the street, so to speak. And we throw the responsibility of that, back at them by mm-hmm. giving them the space, just letting them have it. But then everything is up to them to, each artist is responsible for producing, hanging, arranging, and then staffing the gallery during the month that they are there.
Mm-hmm.
So, the gallery is a natural offshoot of that particular feeling.
Let's get back to that as we talk a little bit more about the foundation. Kevin, tell me a little bit about how did you guys come and end up here in Sebastopol?
Well, Charlie and I started Risk Press Gallery in West Hollywood on Melrose Avenue, and it ran there for 5 years, starting in 2002. And we both already had a love for Northern California, and specifically Sonoma County, and we're at a time in our lives when we were looking to make a change. And we were considering moving north. We had friends in the Sebastopol area, so we moved here in 2007. But we missed running the gallery in Southern California, and we always wanted to have the same kind of thing here mm-hmm. in Sebastopol. And we thought we had a lot to offer to the local artists by creating the same type of space here. So when the right property came available, we turned it into Risk Press Sebastopol.
Mm-hmm. And have you found the same kind of response here that you did in West Hollywood?
Yes, very much so.
And same art, different kind of art, different sensibility?
Well, the art varies widely. We have everyone from sculptors to mm-hmm. painters. I think in January we have someone coming who is almost a kind of video artist, mm-hmm. and in a way a bit of a performance artist. So we'll see how that goes.
How fun is that?
Yeah, but it varies a lot.
I think it's better here, actually, because the community is smaller. In Los Angeles, it was a tiny little blip, and it is indeed still a tiny little blip here, even in Sebastopol, because art is not, it's just not as important as other kinds of commerce. But the community here is very much more integrated and cohesive and supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. And so I think it seems to me personally to be more vibrant and exciting and continuous from month to month, whereas in Los Angeles it was rather abrupt each time somebody came in and left. Here there's people spend time with each other. They go to each mm-hmm. other's shows, and mm-hmm. they send out emails to everybody, and it's just much more satisfying, actually.
Yeah, we have a definite community here,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of it. The whole West County Sebastopol area has a nice little enclave of artists that mm-hmm. are supportive of arts and each other. So
that is true.
Yeah.
And there's a great lot of incredible talent mm-hmm. here in all of its variety. So that's been exciting too. So for the next, we're booked really for the next 14-15 months.
Absolutely.
With different kinds of artists, including quilters and printmakers and painters mm-hmm. and sculptors. Next month we have Stefan Fitzgerald, who's going to be doing steel art. And I think in February or March, we have the Sonoma 8, which is a group of artists who are mm-hmm. Based here. They're mm-hmm. actually six now, but they kept the name.
Mm-hmm.
And really nice people. So mm-hmm. I'm just very happy to be doing it.
Yeah. Now, when you choose artists, do you put out a call for artists? Or
no, all we did was show up, and the artists found us.
Yeah,
We really did just start, we started the construction process, and during that time, we deliberately didn't talk with people because we weren't sure when we were going to be able to be allowed to open. Mm-hmm. So once we did open, however, within the next 3 weeks, we were booked for the next year and a half, mm-hmm. actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then now tell us about the foundation, because that's a very important part of this picture.
Well, the foundation just exists in the background. The foundation was, like many foundations, a way to use money in a more creative way than giving it to the government.
Uh-huh.
So what we did was just put that aside, and it supports the building and the utilities and all of that, and then also supports the cost of doing two books a year of poetry, mm-hmm. which really is the big expense, because the artists who come into the gallery are actually self-supporting. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything aside from give them the space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but the foundation pays for the production of the books, basically.
Sure.
And we have a mentor, Bruce Jessa, who is with Willow Creek Financial, who's a wizard. He's our wizard at making money persist.
Mm-hmm.
So that and also he's really good at teaching people how to give, in creative ways based on their passions. Mm-hmm. If your passion is for the environment, then, or if your passion is for art, or if it's for women's issues or children, whatever it is, that's his specialty.
He's a good guy to know, I would think.
He is.
Yeah, cool. Well, so the gallery and the foundation operate in tandem toward a certain mission. And part of that is to provide support for local charities. You've chosen Food for Thought as one of your charities.
Yes.
Or service organizations.
And that's the choice there has to do with the fact that it's not an abstract charitable giving. It actually translates, money into direct energy in the environment, food.
Mm-hmm.
So for every dollar you give to Food for Thought, they can turn it into $2 worth of food. So we encourage each artist who comes into the gallery to choose their own 501c3,
mm-hmm.
and then find some way to contribute something, whether mm-hmm. it's the revenue from one painting or something. But one of the ways, it's sort of a perpetual motion machine we'd like to see come into existence, through art,
mm-hmm.
with art and involving art, where, the money just goes off into good deeds.
So unlike other galleries, then, you don't charge or you don't take a commission if a painting or a piece of art sells.
We don't take anything from the artists. We take nothing. We take they pay for the cost of their show. We pay for the cost of the building and the electricity. We just give them the space.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, too, what we get to do is be a little bit more, and that's why it's called Risk, Risk Press and Risk Press Gallery, is, we take the risk for them because we're not expecting anything back.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we can choose people that might seem improbable to a commercial gallery,
mm-hmm.
or we can give artists who are doing another direction a chance to do something that they wouldn't get any support for in the real world.
Right.
So.
Right. So Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but I promise not to make you squirm. I'm curious, what's been one of the most satisfying parts of your experience with all of this since having moved here? Having the gallery, I know you've done some other construction, with the buildings around the gallery. Tell me a little bit about your personal experience through all of this.
Well, I just like seeing how well received it is, and how many artists have shown up to take their month in the gallery, and I love the community that's developing between
mm-hmm.
them, because mm-hmm. Risk Press artists are a community themselves, because the gallery is unique, and the artists that pass through every month create a community with each other. They
mm-hmm.
support one another.
Mm-hmm.
We share mailing lists and email lists and all of that, so that's very satisfying to me. That's what I really like.
And they also then, for example, they have an opening, and that goes out into the circle of friends, and those people
yes,
come to
course.
Support at the various receptions. And yeah,
he's amazing technical support. He's not saying that too much, but he does give great support visually, through Photoshop and helping
mm-hmm.
people make their cards, and organizing and giving mailing lists out either in whatever form is necessary, whether it's labels or a file. He can
right.
do all of that, and so
right.
artists are always extremely grateful for his contribution.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Well, it's important because as an artist, that stuff, I know about it, but my mind doesn't work that way. And so when we've got folks around us who are a lot more technically minded and can do some of those seemingly simple things, but very important things, boy, we love that. That's
yeah.
Great. So tell us a little bit then about how does a commonplace of poetry fit into this?
Well, it's the first book, and so as I said, it's the model of what we want to do. So we are looking at using local printers. We use Chromographics here in Santa Rosa. We use local artists for the covers. Each poet that we choose will have a different local artist do their portrait for the cover of the book,
mm-hmm.
And that gives them a chance to have something published that they might not have had published before.
And I see that here with your book.
Yes,
it's very nice. It's a very classy piece of literature. It's done well. It's a little understated in a way. It's not.
Well, I come from my background in publishing has always been, very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I did textbooks for many, many, many years, and I like good bookmaking, and hope that we will be doing those kinds of books. The first poet for 2012 is a woman named Fran Claggett, who is doing a book of poetry, and this month our book is an art book, actually. Mm-hmm. Our friend Donna Tauscher has done a book of self-portraits, with Polaroids, and that book is coming out in December.
Mm-hmm.
And
will you have a book release? I guess that's up to them then, correct?
Well, it is sort of. We don't yet. We're a little bit. We don't have a big, classy model of what to do with the books once we've published them.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of, I look at it as kind of seeding.
Mm-hmm.
We put the books out. We're going to give the artists. And it is true. We will let the artist, the poet, have a number, quite a few copies, and let them, use that as
sure.
the means by which they maybe approach another publisher.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take anything back, and the monies that go that come in, if we get money, from the sale of these, mine went to Food for Thought. Now I don't know who Donna will choose to, have for her book, but
okay, and that actually is a wonderful segue, because if we wanted to purchase this book, the cost is.
$25.
Okay.
And the money, we don't take checks. We have people write checks directly to Food for Thought, and then mm-hmm. we just give them the book.
And that is the wonderful model. I mean, that's just, it's excellent. Because 100% of the profit, or the proceed rather,
right.
goes directly to the service organization or the charity
right.
of the artist's
right.
choice. So
as we do this more, we will probably become more accomplished in actually getting them out.
Mm-hmm.
This being the first one, this was, like I say, the model. So we still have a lot of books.
Sure. Well, we've also got holidays coming up, too. So this is
right.
an excellent way for someone to not only give a gift, but then give a gift that keeps on giving, because the money then goes to support the Food for Thought program.
Yes, exactly. That's true. And people can find it on the website. That's
uh-huh.
It's riskpress.com.
Okay.
And they can reach us, and we can then get them the book. So it's not
sure.
it's not a sophisticated operation, but it's mm-hmm. it really does work with the artists and with the poets.
And if they were to happen to pay another $10, $15 in and above the $25, of course, that goes to Food for Thought
it
as
does.
Well.
It does, right.
Absolutely.
We encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
And at riskpress.com, you can also see who the current and future artists are at the gallery.
Mm-hmm. So for
all
a little planning ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. We like people to visit the website and then give us their email, because many or their actual physical address, because many artists still do cards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like cards. I like getting something that I can hang on my wall and touch and that kind of thing. And so, the email announcements are very nice, and some of them are really excellent. and we will put you on the mailing list and keep you informed. There are no hours. I mean, we don't know what the hours are because each artist actually sets his or her own hours. They are there. We encourage the artists to be in the gallery when people drive by and they see it open. They stop by. Mm-hmm. They sometimes buy art. We encourage people to buy a lot more art.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, buy the art, buy the book.
Right.
I mean, this helps everybody. It's a perfect time of year to be thinking about giving gifts that are intensely personal.
Right.
Whether that's a piece that you have painted or photographed or sculpted or written.
Right.
So, okay. So the email is info at wristpress.com or just
Charlie Pendergast.
Well, you can
wristpress.com.
Yeah, or just go to www.wristpress.com and you'll find a way to reach us. There's a wall there to put your comments on if you'd like. And we really want people to just show up at the gallery and visit the artists. Each artist is, for the most part, hanging out there with the doors open and waiting to be engaged.
And the best way to find out who's there and when they will be there is to go to the website.
Is to the website, right.
Okay.
Right.
And then the artist, there's also a link to that artist's website.
There is.
So you'll have more information about the particular artist.
That's right.
Correct. Okay.
That's right.
Good. Charlie, did you bring anything to read for us? Are you comfortable doing that?
I did bring one poem about poetry, which I could read.
All right. Why don't you take us out with that?
All right. Poetry chose me because I was good for nothing else. It needed what I couldn't or wouldn't give to seriousness. It was charmed by my indifference to success. In the race against time, poetry wins because it has no weight. It carries itself without reference to the ground and is blithely inconsiderate of death. It defers only to description. It has no aims in politics, shuns recognition by the mighty, obliging only itself. Still, and because of this, its greatest lure is power. Power over the cascading moments of pain, power over unforgivable indifference, power over even elusive beauty, which, for brief moments, made vital in our hearts, allows itself to be captured, contemplated, and released. Poetry does not require sociability, and fled with me, rejoiced with me, despaired with me, requiring only that I share with it a quiet moment, a whispered conversation in a garden, or the happiness of lingering over a letter.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for those deeply, deeply private words, and for letting us touch those for just a few moments.
Thank you. It's lovely being here.
So, Kevin and Charlie, very, very glad to have you with us tonight. The simple act of buying this book is very powerful in and of itself because it's not only a gift in our hands as we hold it and touch it and cherish it, but it extends then to being a gift to someone else, food on a plate, maybe another gift in hand, but essentially it is the gift that keeps on giving, and that's part of the value of your model of doing things. Really, really glad that you were able to reintroduce that concept here to us in Sonoma County because we need more of these kinds of organizations and models to follow. So,
thank you. Well, we absolutely love it here.
Good, good. We're glad you're here.
Thanks.
So there you go, folks. A Common Place of Poetry is the name of the book. It is available, and you can find out much more about it, obtain many, many copies by just simply going to wristpress.com, checking that out. 100% of your purchase will go to Food for Thought, and that also then makes every day a little bit brighter for people in our community affected by HIV and AIDS. Charlie and Kevin, thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty the words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas, and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore, tell me who could ask for more. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty the words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Yet she's only as rich as the poorest of the poor, only as free as a padlocked prison door, only as strong as our love for this land, only as tall as we stand. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty the words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty the words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all, on us all, on us all, on us all, on us all.
Welcome back. You're listening to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale. That was Disappear Fear, taking us into this next half hour. That was The Power, that was Power and Glory. The SF Gay Men's Chorus 11th Annual Holiday Extravaganza returns to Santa Rosa on December 3rd to present their concert, Joyous Jolly Jingles, a breathtaking musical experience packed with familiar favorites, sparkles, and good cheer. Proceeds benefit Face to Face, Sonoma County AIDS Network, which provides housing assistance, benefits counseling, and caring support for those affected by HIV/AIDS. Seats for the concert are $25 in advance, $30 at the door. For an extra $10, you can attend a specially catered VIP champagne reception beginning at 6 p.m. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road in Santa Rosa. We have two tickets to give away for this event. If you are the first caller to reach us at KRCB Radio, the number is 707-584-2020. You win those tickets. So give us a call right now. First caller wins those tickets. Also, our friends at Pete's Coffee North in Santa Rosa have chosen Face to Face to be the recipient of their holiday donations program. December 17th through 24th, store employees will be collecting contributions and Pete's will match up to $1,000 collected during this time. On the 24th, they will be serving complimentary coffee and tea with a suggested donation to Face to Face. All of this happens at 2500 Mendocino Avenue, located in North Santa Rosa. It's great coffee and a great way to extend some holiday cheer. Be sure to stop by. Looks like we have a caller. I think Michaela's going to get it. Yeah. Diana Grayer has been a marriage and family therapist here in Northern California for 15 years. Along with her partner of 32 years, Sheridan Gold, Diana hosts Living Proof, one of the other shows here on Outbeat Radio. It airs the first Sunday of the month. Diana is also an author of three new children's books, The Lone Bird, I Am a Lot of Things, and Diana's Unveiling, a Girl, a Teacher, and an Eagle. Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Diana.
Thank you, Gary. So happy to be here and be on the other side of the table here.
Really? How's
yeah.
that going to go? It's like an Oprah switcheroo. We'll have to see. It's an experiment. So tell us about how you got the idea for the story about the lone bird.
The lone bird. You know, just really interesting about this story is that I woke up one morning, seriously, I woke up one morning, looked out my beautiful big window in my bedroom, and saw the brilliant blue sky and the white puffy clouds. I love nature, so I'm always waking up looking outside and seeing the trees and stuff. Next thing you know, I saw these puffy clouds. I saw these three blackbirds. They were just briskly, you know, flapping their wings fast across the sky. And I say, that's interesting. Then all of a sudden, I just kept my eyes on the clouds, and there was another bird, a lone bird. And I just, my creative juices start to flow at that point. I say, that's a story. And so I created it.
So talk about that creative process that turned the idea for the story into the book.
For me, Gary, what I do as a therapist, as you know, I'm always trying to help people. I'm always trying to help them become who they are meant to be, because on our path we get sideswiped somehow. Maybe we're not parented the way we need to be parented. So my books are always about giving some kind of message. So the creative process was, okay, there's three birds running fast, you know, flying away fast. Okay, let me think. Then there's a lone bird. And we do that all the time. It's like, at that point, it's like, I can have this lone bird make a choice to follow negativity or to go positive. And so that is kind of my baseline, my foundation, is trying to give a message for people to grab hold of and use. And so this is what the lone bird is about. You come to a crossroad and you have to decide, are you going to follow the mean or negative influences, or are you going to move on and do something positive? Mm-hmm. And it takes patience. And so the lone bird, I mean, there's patience in there, there's confidence, there's a lot of lessons in that book.
The book is beautifully illustrated by Jamie Bryant. How did you come to work with such a talented woman?
I'm always on Craigslist. I'm always putting out ads for illustrators and editors. I want to give people an opportunity. This was Jamie's first book. I gave her an opportunity to create her first book, to illustrate it. And it was wonderful working with her. It was a blessing to have her, and she did such wonderful work. Mm-hmm. She was so meticulous and so precise. And I was like, you're spending too many hours, honey. You need to, you know, it's okay. Let me check it out first. But she was just so determined to have a good product, her first book. And people love it, you know.
It's incredible. And the book reminds me of your property, reminds you of the home where you live and your surroundings, the you know, the cows and the trees and the
exactly.
pond.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's all I want that book to do, was to show nature, have the kids, when they're reading this book, to be in nature and enjoy the green rolling hills. I mean, we live in a beautiful place, you know. We're lucky to be here in
right.
Sonoma County. So So I wanted the kids to go like a journey with the lone bird through the book.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's
yes.
really nice. I've often wondered about the interaction between author and illustrator. Tell us about how you worked together to create such a wonderful book.
It was pretty easy, because I'm very clear what I want. So I was clear with Jamie about what I wanted. And so what I did was, we got together and we had a conversation, and I kind of gave her the ideas. So I gave her the ideas of what I wanted to see on each page, and I just kind of let her go with it at that point. And it was easy with Jamie. Some people, you know, you have difficult time with, but she was an easy one to work with.
Mm. I think the lone bird speaks to people of all ages, mm-hmm. as you mentioned earlier when we were chatting. What do you hope readers take away from the literary experience?
Messages. I want them to take something away that's going to help move them in their lives, move them ahead. Basically, you know, so they can get some lessons from reading my material. Yeah.
Great. We're going to get right back to Deanna. This is Diana. This is Gary Carnevale on Outbeat Collage, KRCB Public Radio. We had a little problem with the phone, so will the person who called for those tickets please call back so we can get your information and get these tickets out to you. Diane, tell us about your other illustrated book, I Am a Lot of Things.
I Am a Lot of Things. This is an interesting story about I Am a Lot of Things. Not the book itself, but how I came to, I want to tell you about how I came to have the illustrator, because it's a cute story. I played basketball with this friend of mine, TC, and her daughter draws. So one day I was looking, because as I say, I'm always looking for illustrators, and I was telling my teammate about this particular book, not this particular book, but The Lone Bird. And I say, I'm looking for somebody to draw me a bird. And a perfect bird. And I think her daughter heard the conversation, and the next game she came with a drawing. How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. She took initiative, and I had just hired Jamie to do the lone bird. And so I went home and I said, Cher, I'm gonna look through my list of manuscripts, because I have tons. I promised myself after I got my PhD last year that I would publish these books, tons of them. So anyways, I looked in my list of manuscripts, and I saw this book, I Am a Lot of Things, and I thought it would be perfect for Sierra to draw, to mm-hmm. illustrate it. And it's just been I could talk all day about that experience, because we gave her a surprise party, and it's beautiful. And Cher created a video of it, and you should see her smile now. I mean, it's just beautiful. Mm. So the book is a positive affirmation book. It's one of those books that you read, that you can read over and over and over. And I hear adults saying that they get something from it. It talks about I am smart, you know, like I am responsible. Mm. I am. And shows ways how people can be responsible. And Sierra, I just gave her the open door. I gave her a template. Mm. And I say, you read the text and create whatever pops, whatever images mm-hmm. pop for you, you just draw them. And then I hired Samantha from Craigslist, Samantha Lane. Hi, Samantha, if you're listening. to lay out I Am a Lot of Things. And this is what she came up with. Hmm. Beautiful. You know, it was just really beautiful. And so Sierra was so surprised and so pleased, and all her friends at school and her teachers are, I mean, she is just really just.
So tell us a bit more about Sierra. How old is she?
Sierra's fifth grade. It's 10 years old.
Wow.
Her first book. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I missed that part. Yeah, okay. She's only 10 years old, and she took it on. She was responsible. She didn't let her parents see the art until she was finished. She calls it peeking.
Wow.
No peeking. But
she has this vision of what she wants to create and doesn't even need suggestions, and that's amazing.
And matter of fact, when I had the surprise for her, when we had the surprise at her house and her friends and family and came, I said, are you ready to do another one? And she said, yes. And so she's already getting started on this, on I Am a Lot of Things too.
Oh, wow.
She is so motivated and so disciplined. So, you know, I give her time. It's not like I need it next week. I say, take your time, do your basketball, do your soccer, do your play dates, do your life. And so it's wonderful.
A talented girl with obviously some great self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And having a positive self-image has been a theme in your work for many years. Why is it that so many children and adults suffer from issues stemming from low self-esteem?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, which would probably lead me into my Stepping Into Fierceness workshop. But what happens, Gary, is that I hear stories, I hear secrets, I hear people expose things to me that you won't normally hear. They don't even share with their loved ones. You know, we get hurt. There are a lot of people suffering and in pain. We get hurt. I can speak from my own experience about how I needed nurturance and attention, and I didn't get that. And so when a child doesn't get that, you create these images of yourself. You don't feel good about yourself. You don't feel like you're capable or that you can do radio or you can write a book or you can't be president of the United States. You're squelched and blocked. And so, you know, I'm not blaming all the parents out there, but a lot of us, it's unintentional or intentional, you know. Parents might be rude and mean, and then there are sometimes, like, my mom didn't call me names or anything like that, but she did not feed my soul the way it needed to be fed. And that's what happens. That's why we lose our path. And so my work is about getting people back on their path, their truest path, you know, to be their authentic selves.
So talk about, we'll segue into your Stepping Into Fears workshops and talk about them a bit, and what role artistic expression plays in the journey you take participants.
So Stepping Into Fears thing is something I've always wanted to create, something that was mine that I can take on the road. And Stepping Into Fears thing, it just came to me, and so I've already done 3 workshops. And I'm starting this new journey in January. I took off these 2 months. And Stepping Into Fierceness is about, how do I help people unlock themselves? How do I help people, if they, for instance, they want to be a writer, but yet they've learned that they can't write for some reason. So that part of them is blocked. So in my workshop, they learn to express all those negative voices that allow them to stay blocked. And so what I want to do is help them to unblock and let the light shine through and their truest self shine through and the writer that they can be, you know. Like for my own experiences, I mean, I'm not the best writer as far as grammar and all of that, but I'm not going to let, and the voices used to say, Diana, you don't even know how to do past and present tense. How are you going to write a book?
The inner critic.
Exactly. So, you know, I call these parts of ourselves gatekeepers, but they're inner critics, the committee, the ego, all of these different names that people call them. But that's what it's about. It's about releasing those voices, letting them go. We don't need those anymore because we learn them from childhood. So that's part of building self-esteem, is releasing the negative cloud that we carry inside and around us.
Right. And you've had 3 workshops already, and you have another one planned.
Another one planned January 22nd at Songbird Healing Center in Cotati. And looking forward to that happening.
Great, great.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get back to your writing.
Okay.
Or do you have more to say about your workshop?
No. I mean, just come. You know, it's really, 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 really important to have people do this piece of work. And I know it's frightening for a lot of people because you have to expose certain parts of yourself. It's experiential, totally experiential. So I would recommend it, but even though people are afraid, I would recommend that they step inside the doors to try it and see what happens to them.
And how many people are in each workshop?
Well, I only ask for about 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I have 10 to 12 on there, but, you know, it depends on what shows up. So I'm open.
So as now a published writer and a creative person, what advice would you offer other creative folks out there who might find it difficult to express themselves or who may feel blocked in some way?
I recommend that you push through it, you reach out, because the voices are there. You have to remove the voices. You have to do that piece of work. Otherwise, it's not going to change. It's going to stay the same. Whatever we do in life, we have to work at it. And I encourage people to do not listen to all those nayers out there. Ourselves telling us that we can't do it is bad enough, but don't listen to all the other family members and friends who are putting their fears on you. You go out and you do your dream, and you know, and live your life for yourself. So I really encourage people to do their dreams. Listen to that wiser voice that's inside. You know.
And how did you do that? What brought you to this point in your life where your creativity is soaring?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a journey. Like I say, I did the work, Gary. I looked at myself. I listened to the voices, and I realized that they weren't real. They weren't who I want to be, and I just kept looking deeper and deeper into my soul and myself, and trusted myself and took risks. Mm-hmm. At one point, I had a fear of public speaking. And I heard so many other people speak, and it's like, what are they talking about? I can do that, you know? So it wasn't real to me. It didn't make sense. It's like, no, no, no. So I practice and practice. And what I do with my clients, they come in with all types of fears. And what I do with them, I help them practice and practice so they can feel a different voice go through their bodies. Mm. And then when they feel different inside and embody that, they can take it out into the world in a different way. And so they go and practice and they come back and then we practice in the session and then we have an assignment and they go do the assignment. Then they come back and tell me how it's beautiful work to see the transformation, to see them just come in all shy and afraid and then standing in front of me expressing, you know.
I love how you phrase that. It's beautiful work. Because work, most people associate it's difficult and it's going to hurt. And some people are unwilling to do the work. But once you get into the work, you understand how it's transforming your life.
Exactly. And, you know, that's great that you say that. Because I was telling someone else the other day that my work, my job is marriage family therapist. But it's not work. Mm. It's like a calling, you know. It's something really important that I do. And I love it.
I bet you do it really well.
I love it.
I bet you do it well. And, you know, for many years as a therapist, as a columnist for We the People, how we first met, and as co-host of Living Proof, you've offered some of the best information, advice, and tips about coming out I've ever encountered. Why is it seems that it never gets easier for people to embrace who they truly are?
Why it doesn't get easier?
Mm-hmm.
Why
it seems that it doesn't get easier as we move on in time with all the progress we're making socially, but people still find it difficult to come out as either LGBT or even come out as artists.
You know, as I said before, those voices, we internalize that stuff, that negative stuff that blocks us. That's why it's difficult. That's why I created Stepping Into Fierceness. That's why I created this. So it gives people opportunity to release that negative hold on them. You know, it's like living in a box. What I try and do is break down the barriers of those walls, break down the walls, and have people be set free. That's what it's all about for me, is setting people free. But as you say, and I say, they have to do the work. They have to take risks, and in the process, they can soar, you know.
And that process is sort of worked through in your third book, Deanna's Unveiling.
Deanna's Unveiling, yeah. Exactly. That's a really wonderful book. It's for middle readers, and it's pretty much sort of a journey that I went through, being shy. So this is a girl in school who's really shy. And by the end of the book, she soars because she is, that's what I do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm helping her become. And she gets connected with an eagle. And in that process, she learns to learn about herself and to soar. So it's a beautiful journey from being shy in the turtle shell, retreating all the time, and then spreading her wings.
And the eagle has special meaning for you. Tell us about what the eagle represents for you.
The eagle is about being free, being set free. So that's how that idea came about. First, I was the turtle. I used to be that shy person that stayed in the back. But now I'm able to be free. It's just a soul connection for me with an eagle. It's just, you know, I have another book coming out about an eagle, you know, so it just means a lot to me. It's hard to even describe. Can you imagine an eagle soaring, that feeling that it has? It just captivates me, and it just makes me go there. And that's what, that feeling of soaring is what I want everybody to feel, because I don't want people to live their lives. So many people in 65, 70, 80 year olds, Gary, are living their lives bound and
still not free.
And that's what I believe in, helping people be set free.
We're going to have you read a poem for us.
Okay.
And Sheridan Gold has joined us, and she's going to play her groovy new drum. It's purple and it has a heart in the middle. And I don't think Sheridan's going to talk. Are you going to speak?
Is there a live mic?
There could be. There you go.
This is called a Moyo drum. It's made out of a propane tank. It's in the key of D minor.
Beautiful.
So this poem is it's called Stepping into Fierceness. We're constantly stepping out into something, out into nothing. Out into something that's not truly ours, often not honoring who we are or who we want to be. The soul, strangled and beaten down, drowns in murky, muddy muck, reaches and hopes for a life sign. But the destruction is too big, too devastating. Open to the knowledge within you. Let it lead you out of the darkness and into your life's light. Expose the horrid voices one by one and see them weaken before your strengthening. Set them free so you can be free. Your light will emerge. You will finally see who you are, who you were meant to be, not who they made you out to be. Bring forth those words, these words of wisdom, freely and fiercely. Whisper them, caressing them around your body. Speak them out loud, again and again. Sing them, and feel the vibration of your life moving through you. Yell them from the depths of your soul. Now softly speak them again with loving intention. Allow them to circulate, flow within you. Remember this moment. Seal it with love. Love for you. Embrace yourself, and you are forever changed.
That was beautiful, Diana. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sheridan. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Diana, tell people how they can order your books and learn more about your workshops.
The best way to do it, fastest way, is go to Dr. Diana Greyer, Dr. Diana Greyer, DrDianaGreyer.com.
Great. Thank you. Thank you again. And happy Thanksgiving to both of you. Best of luck with all the books.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Sure. We're still waiting to give away those tickets. Please call back 707-584-2020. We want to thank all of our guests tonight, Cherry Pendergast and Kevin O'Connor, Dr. Diana Greyer. Next month, join us on Outbeat Collage. Michaela and I will be joined by another family therapist, and another former We the People columnist, Dr. Kay Miller, who will talk about her new book, Living with the Stranger in Me, An Exploration of Aging. Oh, there's our caller. Thanks for calling back. And also we'll have Sunbell on, who will be performing music from her new CD, Center of the Wheel. As always, thank you for listening to Outbeat Radio. You can listen to us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. And again, thank you for your loyal support of KRCB Radio. And we thank KRCB Radio. We're giving thanks because it's Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving week, and we're thankful for KRCB FM and for allowing Outbeat Radio to be on the air. Have a happy and safe holiday week, and we'll see you next month on Outbeat Collage.